Welcome to Calvary Chapel Sebastian Podcast. We hope that you're blessed by this message. Is everybody doing good tonight? Good. The weather held out, so we got in here on time. So just want to thank you all for being here, and I want to welcome any guests that we might have and welcome everybody that's listening to us on our podcast. And last week, we talked about the first. It's the first time for everything in God's kingdom, and this series is the beginning of God's story. And we talked about firsts that happened last week, and we're going to be in Genesis chapter 4, but we're going to start off in verse 10. Now, we talked about there's a first time for everything. And now we look in chapter 3 as we go before that, and we see that Adam and Eve sinned, and they only acted against God. Their sin was only against God. Now we're going to see how sin escalates with the murder of Abel. But Cain, now he acted against both man and God. He acted both against man and God. And we'll see how Cain's great-great-great-grandson, Lamech, was an evil man whose anger was multiplied many times over as we get into the teaching. So let's go ahead and get started. And we start with, in verse 10, God is questioning Cain. That's where we left off. He asks him, he says, "Where is your brother?" Now, God's questioning him, but he already knows the answer, doesn't he? Because God knows everything. In Psalm 139:4, it says this, "Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all." So he knew exactly what happened. He was just asking him. The questions that he's asking Cain were to have him open up. He wanted Cain to open up. What did he want him to do? He wanted him to repent. He wanted him to confess what he did. And doesn't our God do that for us today too? The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sins, and then we repent. And that's what he's trying to do here. And we need to do that so sin doesn't take over. We need to master these temptations because sin starts very small. I remember years ago, and this will show how old I am, and I think I have the right crowd. How many of you remember drive-ins? Yeah, there we go. I got the right crowd. So I went to Cindy and I's first date, as we're talking about first, was to a drive-in. We went to a drive-in, and the movie was Smokey and the Bandit. So that tells you what year this was. So we went to this drive-in, and we get in there, and there was this disturbance over in down the way a little bit. So we kind of were watching what was going on, and there was a bunch of people at this car. They were messing around in the back of it. Nobody really knew what was going on. So I kind of walked over there a little bit to see what was happening. And what was going on was these people decided they were going to save the $5 or whatever it was, and they were going to sneak in the trunk. Yeah, anybody ever do that? There we go. Yeah, that's right. So they're trying to sneak in the trunk, but they couldn't get the trunk open. So the guy's in there banging on it. He can't get out. So they have to call somebody, the police and the fire department, to come to bust open that trunk and get him out. You know, they never saw the movie. The car and the trunk were damaged. And the thing about that is such is the path of sin. Small sins, right? We think we're doing nothing wrong. That little white lie. The ride is short and the price is high. Small things lead to the big things, don't they? They really do. So if you're taking notes tonight, it says this, a small sin such as pride and envy has a way of growing out of control. Let God help us with the little sins before they turn into tragedies. Before we get those big sins, let the Lord, let the Holy Spirit convict you of those and repent and confess those sins. So many times we think that nobody knows what's going on, but we know that God knows, doesn't he? He knows everything. And we can only do that with the power of the Holy Spirit. But God knew exactly what was going on with Cain. And God said, "Where's your brother?" And Cain says, "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And we saw that first deliberate lie. Now we hear God's response. Now God is going to respond to Cain. And what he says is this. The Lord said, "What have you done?" And this question is not because I didn't know, but it's like, what have you done? Have we ever done that to our kids when we saw that they did something and we still did? It's kind of like out of horror and rebuke. What are you thinking? What were you thinking? It wasn't a fact-finding mission. He wasn't trying to do that. He was trying to give Cain every opportunity to tell the truth, to confess and to repent of his sin. God was trying to bring his sin into the light. And he does the same thing for each and every one of us, doesn't he? The Holy Spirit does that. He comes alongside us and he helps us. He convicts us. So our small sins don't turn into the big sins. And then God goes on to say, he says, "Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground." Now, when God says, "Listen," what do? We should be listening, right? When God speaks, we should, like E.F. Hutton, when God's speaking to us, we should be listening. Now, Adam and Eve, what'd they do when God spoke to them after she ate the fruit off the tree? They ran and hid, didn't they? When they heard God's voice, they ran and hid. And now we hear that God heard Abel's voice crying from the ground, and Cain had nowhere to hide. There was no place for him to hide. Abel's blood was crying out to God. And when you think of that sin, when we think about what he did to his brother, it becomes more and more disturbing. As I studied this, it just started becoming more and more disturbing because it wasn't a crime of passion. It wasn't like a crime of self-defense. This crime here was just carefully thought out, and it was carefully carried out. He knew exactly what he was doing. It wasn't a stranger. He killed his brother out of envy and hatred. Now, Cain did this after being at the altar. And despite God's promise, and God said, "You will be accepted if you do what's right." Think about that. He was at the altar with God. And God said, "Cain, your attitude's not right. Look at your attitude, your heart, the way you're coming to me." And that's for us today, the way we worship. Do we worship with an attitude like that? But he's telling Cain, if you do what's right, you'll be accepted. And if you're taking notes, we live by the promises of God. When God makes a promise, we live by that. And Revelation 21:4 is one of my favorite promises of God. And it says, "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." Amen. That's one of my favorite promises from God. Yes. And God will truly make all things right. He really will. Now, blood spilled in an unjust death cries out to be avenged for a wrong to be made right, wouldn't you say? Abel's blood is crying out. Abel's blood is crying out to God. And I just thought about that, and I'm looking at what Abel's blood was saying. What was it saying to God? And I have four things. The first thing I have what Abel's blood was saying was simply this, that one day God will avenge the crimes perpetrated against the innocent. In Romans 12:19, it says this, "Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord.'" So someday God will make it all right. And the second thing that Abel's blood says is that the righteous will be hated without cause. In 1 John 3:12, it says this, "Do not be like Cain, who belongs to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own actions were evil and his brothers were righteous. Do not be surprised, my brothers and sisters, if the world hates you. Abel was right with God, and Cain hated that. He did not like that. So don't be surprised if the world hates us, hates Christ followers for being in that right relationship with God. The next thing it says is the blood of Abel says that it does make a difference on how we worship our God. It does make a difference. We need to come before our God humbly with the right attitude. Cain did not have that right attitude. He had an attitude of, he was prideful, and we can't do that. Being humbled before God and right with him, our attitude, our heart matters in our worship, in our relationship with God. And the last thing, the blood of Abel says that faith is the only way to please God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Abel's blood is now crying out for justice to God. For his spilled blood continues to cry out to God for all people who do violence against the innocent and others. But someone else's blood cries out as well. And I thought it was really interesting when I was studying this, Jesus' blood cried out as well. Jesus' blood cries out, and Jesus' blood cries out this, the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ cried out to our Heavenly Father, forgive them. In Luke 23:34, it says this, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And that's important for all of us. I always think about Jesus on the cross when he said that, when he said, Father, forgive them, because they had just crucified him, didn't they? They just put him on the cross. They had beaten him. They had done all these things to him. And what was his response? Forgive them. And how should we respond when people treat us that way? How should we respond when the world treats us differently because we're Christ followers? And sometimes the world does hate us. But I always have to go back to that. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. And that's important for me to know because I deal with certain things sometimes and people just really don't know what they're doing because they're lost. And that's what we're called to do. We were called to be like Jesus. And what did Jesus come here to do? He came to seek and save the lost. And there are lost people out there. And all of us are sinners. Jesus' blood speaks a better word than Abel's. According to Hebrews 12:24, it says this. It says, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. God's word declares that Jesus' blood cleanses us from all our sins and sets us free. This means that his blood provides grace and mercy, and we are protected, not just from the wrath of God, but also from the consequences of our sins. We are delivered from those sins. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit testifies to our consciences of who Jesus is. And we have complete victory over sin, and our victory is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ provides everything we will ever need. Abel's blood cried out for vengeance and justice. Jesus' blood definitely spoke a better word. It speaks of a better thing. Christ's blood cries out for pardon, forgiveness, mercy, and grace. If you're taking notes, don't let the evil one ever torment you. Remind him that you have been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, as we go back to our scripture, we're going to see the judgment. There's a judgment here, and it's called a curse. He calls it a curse. Anybody want to be under a curse from God? Nobody? Nobody at all. Good. I'm glad to hear that. Got the right crowd. All right, good. So we're going to look at this in verse 11. It says, "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Remember, we're talking about first. So this is probably the first death, right? And possibly the first grave. The ground was receiving Abel and his blood, and it cried out. I think this was probably the first grave of a human, and that's why we're calling this a lot of firsts. But the ground was cursed because of human sin. In Genesis 3:17, it says this, "To Adam, he said, 'Because you listened to your wife and ate the fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life.'" And now Cain himself is actually cursed. The earth is stained with human blood for the first time. And God revealed to Cain that the sins that he did on the earth also will rise up against him. The earth revolted against him. In Job 20:27, it says this, "The heavens will expose his guilt. The earth will rise up against him." Cain likely buried the body, we know that, to conceal his crime. But he didn't bury it deep enough from God. He didn't bury it deep enough to conceal it from God. And for all of us, we can't conceal our sins from God. We may think we can, and we may get away with it for a while, but God sees them all, each and every one of them. Now, the evidence is very clear that his sin was found out because it's his brother's voice. Now, in verse 12, it says this, "When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." So here's another first. We have a wanderer. He's a wanderer now. But Cain worked the ground. That's how Cain made his living. Remember, Cain worked the fields. Abel was a shepherd, so he worked the fields. It produced life for him. Now the ground was soaked with his brother's blood, and it would no longer produce for him. If you're taking notes, sin separates us from God and from other people. He was exiled. He was an outcast. And when we sin, does that not happen to us sometimes? Don't we get exiled from other people, outcast because of what we've done? Our own families, it can happen. Now, Cain was estranged from other people, and finding that now the ground was even inhospitable to him. He was that first wonder. Now, listen to what Cain says. I think it's very important because Cain's response here is very interesting because, and I think we need to look at our own responses when it comes to sin. But Cain says this. Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Woe is Cain, right? Whoa, this punishment is more than I can handle because it's all about me, isn't it? How many times do you say, "I"? Lord, this is more than I can bear. This punishment is so unfair. Have your kids ever said that to you? This punishment is so unfair. Well, when he's confronted with his sin, he moved to that despair, that, oh, woe is me. He's not complaining about his sin. He's complaining about the punishment. It wasn't about that. He was only complaining because he got caught, right? Didn't matter. He didn't even bring up Abel. He's saying, what about me? It's all about me right now. he still wasn't accepting his sin or his punishment. He wasn't owning up to his actions at all. You know why? He was a victim, wasn't he? Cain's a victim. Oh, this is all happening to me. Look at me, right? Anybody know any victims? We know victims, right? He's being treated so unfair. Oh, Lord, this is more than I can take. And what's interesting is he doesn't say, Lord, you're hidden from me. He says, oh, I'm hidden from you. Really? I'm hidden from you. I think it would be the other way that, Lord, if you've hidden yourself from me, I would be in trouble. I would be worried, but not Cain. Cain's not worried about that because it's all about him. You know, when you talk about being a victim, you know, I worked at Cooper Tire and Rubber. It's a tire factory. And I worked there for years. And one of the things that we did was we unloaded trucks with tires and then we loaded them back up and we did this. And so many times the wrong tires would come up to the wrong truck. And part of our job was to make sure that we were looking at the tickets, checking the tires to make sure they were the right ones, right? So I was there one night and I saw this one guy, they bring up this thing and he didn't even look at the ticket. He just loaded them into the truck and they were all wrong. So the supervisor, they found out, supervisor comes down and he is just going off on him. And all this guy could do was, it's not my fault. I didn't do it. Somebody brought me the wrong tires. Did you look at it? I did look at it. So now he's lying. He's compounding what he did wrong by lying. Isn't that what we see what Cain's doing? He's compounding it by lying. So I saw this happen. And then it was my turn the next night to be up there loading these tires. And I did the same thing. I didn't pay attention to what I was doing. My boss came down. And what we liked about seeing him, it was, you know, this is kind of, I was younger then, is when he would get and yell at us, the veins in his neck would start popping out, you know, and it was like, oh, this is kind of cool, you know. So, but it really wasn't. So he comes to me and he says to me, hey, what happened here? And very simply, I just told him, I said, I thought I knew what I was doing. I made a mistake. I loaded the wrong tires. And he kind of looked at me and he just kind of went like this. And then he stopped and goes, don't do it again. And he walked away because he was expecting me to blame somebody else for what I did. And don't we see that a lot? There are so many victims around all the time. I used to tell my boys that because I saw one time when I worked at Cooper, there was we sat at little tables and I sat with the same guys for like 10 years and I heard all the stories of their families. And I always used to tell my boys, if you guys do something wrong, please just tell me that you did something wrong, okay? I'd rather deal with that than to deal with the compounded lie that comes with that. Well, a friend of mine, you ever see the soccer games at the end of the soccer games where they're going up and they're shaking hands and all that? So these kids were shaking hands and the guy I sit with, son, punched this guy in the stomach. So they came to him afterwards. They said, hey, your son did this. And he's like, nope, he didn't do that. I talked to him. He said that didn't happen. I believe my son. It didn't happen. So, okay. So that later on that night, they came over and they had this big, they had a VCR tape. Remember the old VCR, the cameras that had them big tapes in it? So they come over with this and they go, hey, can we stick this in your VCR? Suck it in that VCR. And sure enough, as they're walking down the thing, he punches him in the stomach. And he didn't know how to react. Because now, because his son lied, now he's in this situation. And I always tried to tell my boys about that, telling the truth. Don't be a victim. And I would tell by saying a victim, everybody kind of smiled a little bit. I think we all know a victim. But we're not victims. We're victorious in Christ. Whenever we make a mistake, we need to own it. We need to own that, and we need to repent of it. You know, Cain, he didn't respond with any remorse or any repentance at all, just self-pity. He said, "It's more that I can bear." And I can tell you one thing, when it comes to a pity party, have you ever had a pity party? Any of you? That's one party that God will not come to because it's all about you. I know when I've had my pity parties, he does not attend because it's all about me. He will not come to that because when it's all about him, that's what we should be doing, everything. And Cain had no cry for forgiveness or repentance at all in him. And he said, "I'll be hidden from your presence." I think that's an interesting statement because it wasn't about God. It was all about him. And the result of this curse being separated from God, in Matthew 25:41, it says this, "Then the king will turn to those on the left and say, 'Away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his demons.'" Those who are cursed are forever indeed cursed and shut out and separated from God's love, his care, and all hope of his amazing grace. So we don't want to be cursed. And because of Cain's curse, he was worried about being killed, wasn't he? Because his response was that. It says, but the Lord said to him in verse 15, not anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance only seven times over. Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. And I think this first murder reveals God's true character to all of us. Because what was he trying to do? He was trying to show Cain justice and mercy. He was trying to give him grace. He gave him every opportunity. That's who our God is. He gives us every opportunity. The life of Cain was spared by an act of God. God didn't take his life. And mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting something we don't deserve. And Cain got both of those. And I don't know about you, but I thank God every day for that. Not getting what I deserve, because I deserve, well, we won't go there. Okay. If you're taking notes, there's always forgiveness with God for the greatest of sins and sinners, for those who confess, repent, and accept Jesus Christ into their lives. Now, the statement by Cain shows that obviously the population had grown. Now it's getting bigger. It obviously increased outside of his immediate family, but even his immediate family would probably want to try to kill him, right? And really, they're all kind of spread out from that anyway. But it says that there was a mark on Cain. We really don't know what that is. The Bible doesn't tell us, so we can't really go there. But I don't think it was a visible mark or a brand on his forehead or anything, but it was some kind of sign or token of assurance that his life would be preserved. So, and I said before, when the Bible's silent, we should be silent. So I really can't tell you what that was, but there was something there that made him stand out to people. In verse 17, it says this, "Cain made love to his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. Cain was then building a city and named it after his son Enoch." Here's another first. He's the first builder. He's building a city. And that's interesting, isn't it? Cain is building a city. Now, when we go to verse 18, it's just the genealogy of Cain, and we're going to skip over that, and we're going to go down to verse 23. And we're going to see what we see in verse 23. The real fruits of sin are revealed in the words of Lamech to his wives. Adam and Eve repented, and their faith was implied after their sentence was pronounced. Cain did not repent, and he couldn't defend his actions. Now, Lamech brings us now to where sin is committed very boldly. He's outright just committing sin and doesn't care. Okay? In verse 23, it says this, Lamech said to his wives, that's plural, wives, Adam and Zillah, Adah and Zillah, listen to me, wives of Lamech, hear my words. I have killed a man for wounding me, a young man for injuring me. If Cain is avenged seven times, then Lamech is 77 times. Now, Lamech is bragging to his wives about committing this murder. And here I think we're going to see another first. If I'm not mistaken, I think that's he's a polygamist, right? He has more than one wife. So there's another first. So he's a polygamist. This young man that he approached probably just hit him, did something. We don't know. It doesn't really say what happened. But there was another murder over something very small. And he shows no regard for God's word, does he? None. If Cain is avenged seven times, then I will be avenged 77 times. Man has moved from disobedience to murder and murder to an evil society where everyone was against each other. It seemed like they were all under a curse. This whole city was under a curse that Cain had built. And God said to Cain, he had warned him of the seriousness of killing Cain. This shows how much God values human life. God valued human life so much that he didn't take Cain's life. But Lamech is openly boasting about his sin, his violence, and his hostility towards men and God. And sometimes we see that today, don't we? We see people boasting and bragging about that, being hostile towards people and to God. And how quickly that man had dropped not only to the bottom of the barrel, but through the beneath it. He wasn't even at the bottom of the barrel. He was under the barrel. That's how far that this had dropped. In Romans, Paul talks about this. And he talks about the fall of man. In Romans 5:20, it says this, God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. Now, is that saying that we should continue to keep sinning because of God's grace? No, that's not what he's saying. But our God is a gracious God. He's the God of first, second, third, fourth, fifth chances, isn't he? Because we do continue to sin. Sin was growing and growing, and it was getting bigger and bigger. And at the end of this chapter, we're going to see God's grace. We're going to see that there's hope. In verse 25, it says this, Adam made love to his wife again, and she gave birth to a son named Seth, saying, God has granted me another child in place of Abel since Cain killed him. Seth also had a son and named him Enosh. And at that time, people began to call on the name of the Lord. Now, Eve had hoped for salvation through Cain, right? She thought that Cain was that, and she was mistaken. It didn't happen through Cain. It didn't happen through Abel as well, because Abel was murdered. But there was another son, Seth. He was the substitute for Abel. By putting the genealogy of Cain just before Seth, this shows two paths that were open for the human race. There's two paths for the human race. Just as we saw in the beginning, the two brothers, the two worships, one accepted and one not. One had faith and one did not. One was prideful. the two ways of Cain and Seth. Jude 11 says this, "Woe to them who have taken the way of Cain." Or, "Oh, what sorrow awaits them." The way of Cain is the way of envy, strife, pride, and murder. It's a path to self-destruction. The other way of Seth is one of prayer, service, and submission to the will of God. Abel was righteous through his faith and was right with God. The scripture describes the beginning of time and says Cain built a city. It was evil in those times, and there's evil today as well. But as Christ followers, we have to live by the promises of God. And God says there'll be a new heaven and there'll be a new earth. This will all be gone. He will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things will be gone forever. Two paths that we can take. The way of Cain, which is sorrow and destruction. Or Seth, submission to the will of God, service and prayer. To be like Abel, who was right with God. The last part of that says, a revival had started, the people who called on the name of the Lord. And revival is starting here and now. And for all of us, we have a choice. We have a choice to follow Jesus Christ, or we have a choice to go the way of Cain. And we don't want the way of Cain, do we? We want to follow Jesus Christ. And we want to be righteous like Abel with our faith to be right with God. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for each and every day that you give us. Father, you've given us free will, and we have a choice to follow you or to take another road. And I ask that your Holy Spirit would just rain down upon us right now, that you would help us when it comes to our sin, that you would convict us of our sin, that we would repent and we would come back to you. Father, as we look at revival, we look at the wickedness in our world. The only way is the way of Seth. Prayer, service, and faithfully following you with all our hearts. May we continue to walk shoulder to shoulder as disciples, to be faithful to you, because you are so, so faithful to us. And may we not look at that other path, but may we keep our eyes focused on you and above all our circumstances. Father, we love you and we praise you. In your Son's precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Calvary Chapel Sebastian podcast channel. If this message impacted your life, we encourage you to share it with a friend. We're located at 1251 Sebastian Boulevard, just northeast of intersection 90th Avenue and State Road 512 in Sebastian, Florida. Our service times are Saturday evening at 6 p.m., Sunday morning at 10:45 a.m., and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m.